If the wheels are that massive, he thought, how big is the thing that rides on them? And if we are wandering in some part of the Godhead subconscious, then what does that symbolize? What can it mean? And is there any possibility of negotiating with a sentience like this? Chapter 19. Cauchy. Out of a stretched dream of cloudy faces, he drifted up to wakefulness, prompted by voices. The Shintanil attendants' voices. There seemed to be undertones of what passed for excitement among that desiccated species.
A moonshard against them, the ghost gods, a hard thing to dare. The Highest has commanded it. Their interference is disrupting his plans. But this course we must make with the Sun-Eye machineries brings hazard. Yah, hazard for them. You know how old Iron Tooth thinks. Once the ghost god's refuge is smashed, the Sun-Eyes will be blinded.
The deck lurched slightly, then more severely as a grating alarm sounded.
What is battle call? Battle!
The Shintanil attendants rushed off as the crypt ship quivered from external attacks. Cauchy suddenly realized that his drug vials had not been replenished. But when he peered at them, he saw that both were still about a quarter full, and he could feel the body drowse coming on again, just as a massive impact somewhere sent a violent shock through the deck, slamming Cauchy's framework sideways in its recess. Something snapped, and his left arm came free, at least enough to move it across his chest. Fighting the rising languor, he knew he might not have long before he was overwhelmed by what was already in his veins. So he reached over and loosened the strap on his right arm, then proceeded to extract the needle from his left arm and carefully scrape the needle tip against the dirt-streaked metal framework, trying to stop it up with dust and grime. He then stabbed the tip against the frame to crush or bend it and gingerly reinserted it. By now, he was yawning and struggling to keep his eyelids from drooping, but he managed to repeat the process with the other side, refasten his right arm strap and adjust the left one to hold the arm up before letting himself relax. Despite the shaking and jolting, it was the easiest thing to close his eyes and drift off. He awoke to a silence broken by the sibilance of breathing sleepers. His senses felt sharper, as did his mind. The vials looked almost full, yet there was no numbness. Releasing his arms, he retracted the needles and saw a gummy build-up around the tips. That was when he realized that the occupant opposite had been replaced with a human. He was a brown-skinned man, and the torn remnants of his outer garments suggested a uniform of some kind, dark blue. Drugged, he hung there, immobile, insensible. Cauchy lost no time in tackling his restraints, unscrewing, unclamping and unfastening himself from head to toe. On stepping out of the framework, the first thing he saw was the other humans held captive and comatose in the neighbouring recesses, as well as one further along to either side. Stunned, he observed the mix of genders and the variety of characteristics before he noticed something else, a faint clicking and rattling. Tracing it to some way along the passage, he crept nervously towards it, edging slowly up to where he could peer round into one particular recess.